Romans 8 is the place we're going to start at this evening. Our series, as we mentioned right at the beginning, is this: how people change. How can we change to become more like our Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure that's a desire for every Christian. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to stop doing the same sins, falling into the same faults and failures that mark out our life. And we want to start to do the things that Jesus really wants us to do. How can we get rid of those character flaws that are unchristlike and gain the character that is like Jesus? And we've got three parts to this little series. So last week we thought about our identity. We think about the past, the identity. And tonight we're thinking about the future, the vision. And then the week after next, we will think about our responsibility, the present. So there are three keys to our changing to be like Jesus: the past, the future, and the present. Last week, we very much thought about the past, the first key to change. And we thought about our identity, that if we know who we are in Christ, then we will seek to behave in a way that is in keeping with who we are. Our identity shapes us. And that's often the case, isn't it, for all kinds of people in all kinds of different work. Think of professional people, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, a police officer, a politician. They may like to behave and react in a certain way in their workplace when things happen, but they know that because of their particular profession, they dare not. Their identity shapes them. It should be so as well with celebrities, a great football star or an actor or a singer. They have a responsibility to behave in a certain way so that their followers can behave like them. So the identity demands a certain kind of behavior. And we looked at that last week, and we saw that we've got three parts to our identity. We're complete in Christ, so we don't need sinful things to make our life any better. We are new people in Christ. The old has been cut away and the new has come. And we're set free in Christ from the penalty charge that is against us, cancelled by the debt that Jesus paid for us. Now, once we grasp that amazing truth about ourselves, once we see who we really are in Jesus, then we will change our behavior to be in accord with who we really are. We behave badly when we have an identity crisis and forget who we are. And sadly, we all do that from time to time. So that was just a quick reminder of last week. Now, the second key to change then, to us becoming more like Jesus, is this key of the future. The vision that God has for us, what we will be one day, what God will make us one day, how we will one day be fully in God's image, perfectly like Jesus. When we grasp that vision, we'll be motivated to become more and more like him now. For God's vision for us for the future motivates us to behave like we should do now. So we're going to go to three scriptures to look at this. And the first one is Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. We'll start from verse 28, actually. This is page 1135 if you want to have it on your church Bible. Romans 8, 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Now, in verse 29 in particular, we read of God's plan for us. It's stated really ever so clearly. There's a logical process to verse 29. It speaks about those God foreknew, which is Bible language for God loving us before we were ever born, loving us before the dawn of time, before the beginning of time. And those God foreknew, he predestined, it says. He predestined us. He set a plan in place for us that would result in our final destination. And that final destination at the end of verse 29 is that we will be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. So you see the logic there in verse 29. He loved us before the dawn of time. He predestined us, what for? To be like his Son. That is God's vision for us. And what a vision it is to be like Jesus, to have the beauty of Jesus seen in us, all his wondrous compassion and purity, for all that to be seen in us, and even to share his glory. Well, that's where we are headed as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's plan for us. That's God's tremendous plan for us. It's to conform us to the image of his Son. Now, I really want that to sink in, because what a destination that is. But one day, you will be like Jesus. Your husband or your wife might say, I wish it was now. But one day, you will be like Jesus. So that's God's vision for us for the future. Now, that brings about a certain tension in our life, because what we often want for ourselves is very different from what God wants for us. God wants us to be like Jesus. But so often our vision for ourselves and our life is different. We want to be comfortable and trouble-free. We want lives that have good surroundings and no hardships and no trials and no sufferings. That's our vision for ourselves. And our prayers are often to that end, aren't they? Lord, change the people around me. Lord, change my circumstances. Lord, change my situation. It's not often, Lord, change me. It's, Lord, change everything outside of me, because surely that's where my problems come from. And we are more interested in changing our situation and our circumstances and other people than we are about changing ourselves. Whereas God wants to change everything inside of us. And he will use the awkward people and the difficult circumstances and the suffering and the trials that we go through to affect that change in our lives. For God is more interested in changing us than in changing our circumstances. But we're so often self-centered. And hence we fall into old ways and bad ways because we want our way, and we'll fight to get our way, and we will be stubborn and awkward and bolshy and rude and even angry and impatient, even slandering other people and hurting other people so that we get our way and that we protect ourselves, because that's one of our basic instincts, is self-protection. And we're self-centered. Whereas God wants us to be other people-centered, and hence to be patient and kind and compassionate and loving and tolerant and merciful and gracious to the other person. And so our vision for ourself is very often very different from God's vision for us. God's vision to make us like Jesus. Our vision, a comfortable, self-protected life. Now, Paul Tripp, in his book on how people change, says that the daily work of the Holy Spirit is to make the connection between our vision for ourselves and God's vision for us, what God wants for us, and to bring us into conformity with God's ideas. So somehow we have to pair our vision with God's vision for us, with our vision for ourselves, with God's vision for ourselves. And that's very often where the spiritual struggle and spiritual warfare and battle comes in. We want our way. And God says, do it my way. Now, we need to know our destination then. Because if we know our destination, that will help us in pairing our vision for ourselves with God's vision for ourselves. When we know what God wants us to be like, it will really motivate us to be like him. So if you're going away somewhere, like when we went to Chad a few weeks ago, we knew the destination. We knew we'd been there before, so we knew a little bit about what it was going to be like. So we decided that we weren't going to wait until we got there in order to prepare for it. So we prepare for it before. So you have those vaccinations, yellow fever and rabies and cholera and a few other nice things. You have some of those because you're not going to wait till you get there to have them. And also you buy the Imodium or the Dyrolite. You buy everything you need, get everything you need before you get there. You don't wait until you're there, until you're ready. So here's God's vision for us. The vision of glory, to be like Jesus. Well, Lord, work that in my life now. Even if my situation and circumstances do not change, change me inwardly so that my vision for myself pairs up with your vision for myself. Now, this is God's work in our life right now. The vision for the future is that we will be like Jesus. But right now, God is at work in our lives to make that happen. So let's go to our second Bible reference, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, passage that Cynthia read to us. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks about God's work in us. And from verses 3 to 6, follow the sequence of where we're going. We've just seen God's vision for us. Now we're looking at how God's at work in our life to bring that vision about. Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. So verse 6 tells us that God has already started a work in our life, and it's called a good work. God has started that. He's not waiting for glory. He has started that good work, and that good work is to conform us to the image of his Son, Jesus. So God is working now to make us like Jesus Christ. God has begun that work. That's awesome. Sometimes we might feel that God is miles and miles away, and nothing is happening in our life, and it's just humdrum. But when you read a verse like Philippians 1:6, you realize that God is at work in your life every day. Every day God is working in us. So he has begun the good work. We might have thought when we became a Christian it was all about us and our decision, but actually it was God beginning a work in our life. And now we read in verse 6 that he's carrying it on. And also we read in verse 6 that he will complete it. And he will complete it on the day of Christ Jesus. So right now he's carrying on this work in our life through the trials, through the sufferings, through the outward circumstances, through the awkward people. He's carrying his work forward. And he's actually using those outward situations and circumstances to change us inwardly. And he will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. Christ. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. We will become like Jesus. It is certain. He's begun the work, he's carrying on the work, and he will complete the work. Now, in that light, with that vision of God's completed work, like Jesus, Paul prays. And Paul prays for them in verses 9, 10, and 11 with a prayer that pairs up God's vision for the Philippians with Paul's vision for the Philippians. What Paul prays in verses 9, 10, and 11 is with God's vision in mind to be like Jesus. So look at his prayer, verse 9. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Notice this expression at the end of verse 10. It's for the day of Christ. That's to be linked back to the end of verse 6, the day of Christ Jesus, which is to be linked back to Romans 8:29, when everything is over and our destination is reached, we're like Jesus. It's the last day. It's the end of the world. It's the day of Christ. And Paul is praying in the light of that day, in the light of that vision, he's praying that now we would be like Jesus. Because all those things he mentions in verses 9, 10, and 11 are like a portrait of Jesus. Notice them. Verse 9. Your love to grow more and more. Well, that was our Savior. He had love divine or love's excelling. And that love should grow in two areas, verse 9, in knowledge and depth of insight. The knowledge is the knowledge of God and his ways, and the depth of insight is the discernment in the moral maze of life that we live in. And that will lead then in verse 10 to discerning what is best. And that will lead finally to verse 10, the day of Christ. And in that light of that day of Christ, we want to be pure and blameless and filled with the fruit of righteousness. And this is Jesus. He had a love for people. He had a knowledge of God and a right discernment. He always chose what is best. He was pure and blameless, and he was filled with the fruit of righteousness. So that prayer that Paul prays pairs up with God's vision for us. How do you pray for yourself, and how do you pray for other people? Our prayers can be dictated to by the needs of the moment and our perceived needs of other people. Fair enough. And of course, we can pray for ourselves and other people in the kind of things we're going through. Of course, we can do that. But surely our ongoing prayers, our long-term prayers, our more frequent prayers is things like Philippians 1 verses 9 to 11. That God would be developing the character of Jesus in our life and in our friends' lives even now. So we want our vision for ourselves paired up with God's vision for ourselves in our prayers. What will it be like then when we are completely like Jesus? Well, that brings us to our third and final reference, Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. Now, this is a peep into the scene of eternity when we are completely like Jesus. We've seen God's vision. We've heard Paul's prayer. We've seen what God is doing in us now. This is the completion. It's a scene from eternity. Chapter 7, Revelation verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Praise, glory, and wisdom, and thanks, and honor, and power, and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, These in white robes, who are they? Where do they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes. They made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're there in glory. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. And never again will they hunger. And never again will they thirst. And the sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the scene in eternity of people who have been made completely like Jesus. Here we see the Lamb upon his throne, and here we hear the voices of the redeemed, perfected saints. And they've reached their final destination. They are there in white robes, which symbolizes absolute purity. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, which symbolizes perfect redemption. And now they are conformed into the image of the Son, into the image of Jesus. And they are singing. And they are singing as never before. And they are singing a new song. And they give all the glory to God in verse 12. Praise and glory be to our God. Now, picture yourself there. Picture yourself in that place singing that song amongst that numberless crowd of redeemed, perfected people, finally, fully conformed to the image of Jesus. And once you've got that vision, and once we see where we will be, surely that will make us make every effort, even now, to be like Jesus, to pair up our vision for ourselves with God's vision for us. This whole pairing up thing. Have you ever tried pairing up your device with anything on Bluetooth? If you're under 25, you would just laugh at me now. Maybe under 30. Okay. So you get your device, and you want to pair it up. You've got this pairing app or whatever it is, and you can press it, and you've got Bluetooth maybe on your Calm music system. And you think, okay, I'm going to do it. I want to listen to my meatloaf, sorry, my hymns on the Calm music system. I'm going to listen to it, so I'm going to pair it up. And does anyone else find it difficult? So you do there, and the list comes up. Your device is not listed. What is the name of your device? I don't even know what phone I've got, let alone name of my device. Okay, I'll call it Kylie. Kylie is not listed. Okay, all right, okay. Okay, forget that. Let's find something else. And then it says, now a number will come to your device. So you look at a number, and then you think, what's the number up there? And then the number's gone. It like disappears. It says 30 seconds. I'm sure it's only 5. You can't do it. And then you realize there's too many devices are listed on this device. Yours cannot be paired. Bluetooth. Pairing my device with a music device. That's complicated. Pairing our vision for ourselves with a vision that Jesus has for ourselves, I think's a little more easier. We know exactly the name, Jesus. We know exactly the place, glory, and we know exactly the way, praying for what we will be. Let's bow in prayer.